There's this naked guy cackling in a casket full of water.
So, John, I was standing outside one day and realized, you know what? I think it's time for a new plague. And so I'm making one, but don't tell anybody. Oh, we're recording. Hi, welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. I'm your host, Adam, the Glorious.
Hello, I'm your host, John, the regular one. Now, I must admit, I don't believe that story you were telling me, because it started with, I was standing outside, and I think I can count on my hands the number of times I've seen you in the outside world.
Okay, you've got me. Well done, John. You have definitely crushed my spirit. Thank you.
Oh, that wasn't my intention.
In the best way possible. No, I love it. It's great.
Here on the podcast, we're extremely wholesome.
Indeed. And well, that's fine. We'll let that one slide.
Yeah, sure.
So today we have a wonderful episode planned. But first, cue the music. And we're back. Hi. Yes, indeed. We have a magnificent, glorious, fantastic episode planned today with such fervent information that your ears will bleed knowledge. You will actually bleed out of your ears family members that you love. Or
what?
Just the names of them. You won't remember their names.
I don't think people will want to listen to our podcast if that happens.
Okay, fine. Instead of that happening, you will forget all the bad things in your life.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I reckon we should sell that.
I'll put it on a shirt.
Okay, cool.
So, today's episode, we have some interesting information to go through. But the first one that has excited me the most, well, pretty much, is... I'm sure I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but if I haven't, there is a web series out there, on Twitch and what have you, called Critical Role, which is a bunch of nerdy-ass voice actors that sit around and play D&D. And it's fantastic. Matthew Mercer, who is the Dungeon Master and creative, like, genius, essentially, is my hero, John. And he has fantastic hair. Anyway, they're now in their, like, second season, and that is a... obvious quotation marks there, their second campaign. So the first one wrapped up last year, and that was 114 or 115 episodes, something like 300 hours worth of listening or watching, because they do have a podcast and they have the YouTube series, same thing, just so you can catch up and listen to it. It is awesome fun. You get so emotionally attached to these characters. It's fantastic. Anyway, so the first... campaign. It follows a group called Vox Machina, which is the name of the group of the voice actors who play. Anyway, they have a group, and there is Vaxildan and Vexalia, brother and sisters. You have Grog, who is a gigantic Goliath, who's a bit of a moron, but hilarious and wholesome, who likes to just see what's inside people. You have Scanlan the Bard, who is cheeky and hilarious, and has some of the best one-liners on the planet. You have Keyleth the Druid, who is Keyleth the Druid. You have my personal favorite, Percival Frederick von Musselmoor. Any Critical Role fan that's listening to this, I've just lost my Critical Role fan card.
Is this where you get your idea of, like...
long names, yes.
Really extremely long names with multiple parts that are extremely similar and that play off one another so that your brain just, for some reason, can't calculate how to remember what the name is? Is this where you get it all from?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, what is it? Maximus Decimus Mordius Matius Mortalis Meridius the Third.
Yeah, that one.
Is exactly like Percival from Critical Role.
So is this... did you start listening to this podcast before or after
you... it's not a podcast. They have the podcast now. Like, the episodes, they've just put into podcast form so people can catch up.
Web series then.
Yeah.
Did you listen to this before or after starting your own... D&D campaign?
A week before.
Okay.
So I was... anyway, so sorry. His name is Percival Frederick von Musel Kowalski de Rollo III, which I quite like. Everyone calls him Percy.
Trick one, two... forgotten already.
So he's a gunslinger. And he's dark and twisted, just like me.
Oh, so it's set in the future.
No.
I mean, not the future, but...
this is a new technology in that world.
Okay.
So I started watching Critical Role a week before that, and that's kind of what pushed me to start, like, to actually make the leap and do it all. And I love it. It's fantastic, honestly. I have a little town in my D&D world. It's called Mercer's Port.
A little homage.
In honor for Matt Mercer. And yeah, it was ruled by a despot for quite some time. But now it's cleaned out. And yeah, that was actually quite a fun little campaign session there. Nonetheless.
Nice.
So anyway, do apologize, fair people. So yes, I can't remember who I've gone through with all this. Anyway.
I've already forgotten, so don't worry about it.
Fair. But anyway, so Vex, Percy, Grog, Scanlan. There was, for the first like 15, 16 episode, there was another one, a dragonborn sorcerer called Tiberius Stormwind. But he left for reasons. And yeah, like not many people know what it is, essentially.
So how does this show work? Does everyone rock up and then they just start filming or something? Does someone edit it? How does it stay snappy? It's not just live, hours on end.
It's live.
So they do it on stream?
They do it on Twitch.
Oh, wow.
So Matthew Mercer, like I said, Matthew Mercer is like a god when it comes to D&D. All the creativity that he's got is fantastic. And not to mention, like, they have massive support from the community. So they have recently, as in the past, like a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, actually it might have been a bit longer. But anyway, they have, like I said, they're in their second campaign now. So different characters, different setting, like it's a little bit in the future. But they have just announced that they're doing a Kickstarter campaign for a new series based on the old one, based on Vox Machina, an animated series. The Legends of Vox Machina. Now, the goal they set was $750,000, which
that's
was
a lot.
Yeah, you say that, John. $750,000. That was reached within the hour.
Oh, my.
It is now currently, and I'm going to do the conversion for you, but it is now currently sitting at $11,627,814.
That's, like, more well-funded than most, like, movies.
Yep. So just,
or, like, low-budget movies, rather.
So that, in US, for our US listeners, is $8,253,414.
US. See, Adam, what they should do with the extra, because there's a little bit extra, like $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
They should give it to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way, our island procurement fund.
Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm cool with that. That's fair. Oh, and I'm forgetting Pike from the original campaign, because okay. Pike is she wasn't there a lot, but she was like the sweet little gnome cleric who's like soft-spoken and very kind and lovely.
That's what I would have been in your D&D series if I had joined.
Actually, John, speaking of that.
Okay.
So we're reaching the end of my campaign. It's gone for 3 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah, now, anyone who's listening in my campaign, stop listening immediately and go and do your homework. But no.
Be careful of spoilers. They probably exactly. will definitely keep so listening.
We are reaching kind of, excuse the parlance here, but we're reaching the end game of my campaign. 3 years running, and they're kind of getting into the last legs of it. And the last session, or the last maybe two sessions, if you will, because it's going to be spanned over two, maybe even possibly three, depending on how the fight goes, I'm going to be needing some guests. And...
Oh, really?
I have possibly a couple of people lined up, but I was wondering if you wanted to join in. I'll give you the cues and everything you need to know, don't worry. But yeah, you have the potential to come in and do some stuff for me here, if you wish.
I remember originally I was going to design a elf that was raised by dwarves, which Adam didn't like. And then I was like, Adam, just make me the supervillain of the campaign. And then you can just lead up all these hints. And then eventually I'll come in as the supervillain and they have to defeat me. Now, neither of those things end up happening. But
that
maybe
you know of.
Well, true. But maybe the special guest appearance will be like, I was pulling the strings all along. And then they'll like kill me in one blow because I'm terrible at D&D.
So I had back in, this was maybe like the 14th, 17th session that we ever did. So our first session... Yeah. Went for 14 hours.
I did hear about it.
It was monolithic. It was so much fun. Anyway, so this Yeah, so basically I've put clues throughout the entire series, essentially. And one of them has recently-ish come to light. And that was the wizard of the party. His name is Eru, Iluvatar, which is based off Lord of the Rings. And he is played by my friend Callum. And he is the magic user of the party. And suddenly they were in the middle of this trap, right? And I'd been rolling dice to determine if and when this was going to happen. And it happened right in the middle of this lightning trap that he was trying to make his way through and went unconscious. And he has no idea why that happened until recently, which was quite fun. The goddess Maestra, or Mistra, depending on your predilections there, had been wounded, and she is the goddess of magic. And all magic users suffered some incredible pain. Yeah, it was actually quite interesting fun. And there's obviously reasons for that. So
your story is, like, so insanely detailed, and there's, like, mysteries upon mysteries.
It is fun, I'm telling you now. So, anyway, going through all this type of stuff, the Critical Role Kickstarter is as I said, the animated special. So people are really looking forward to this because it's following Vox Machina. And I mean, with, was it $8 million and it's still got 19 days to go for the Kickstarter. What are we at the moment? I want to see what the rewards are. No, not the rewards, sorry. What's the...
The perks.
Well, they're, yeah, essentially. So updates, here we are. So I'm pretty sure the stretch goals, if you will. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So they've got new Briarwoods episodes. Man, they've got so much cool things doing it now. I mean, honestly, like with $8 million, they can do so much with it. I think we're at like 13 episodes that they get to put out now.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy. So that would be a good... a good thing, because I don't think you have the time to go through and listen to all of Critical Role. And yeah, you're going to have a great time. You could watch this instead.
Yeah, I like the idea that the idea that I can just jump in and have this easily consumable. Like, they've edited it into basically a show that I can catch up with.
Yep, and that's what it is. It's going to be so much fun.
So I'm looking at... Game of Thrones, which is quite high budget. The pilot was done for $5 to $10 million. So, you know, they can make pretty insane things.
Yeah, but don't forget, this is animated. I mean, so this isn't live action stuff. This is literally, they can do whatever they want.
You just have to pay a few people who can draw and animate.
So. Yeah. I think it is very expensive. But honestly, Critical Role, if you are a nerd, my fine friends, give it a crack. I mean, they're long episodes, right? But the fact is it's the community that I really love, because, I mean, you see right there, they're so generous and loving and awesome. They just have such a passion for this, like for D&D and for the group, for Critical Role. It's just fantastic to watch it all. Like, there's a community here in Perth, in WA, who meet up and do stuff on the regular. It's brilliant, honestly.
Wow.
So give it a listen, folks. Critical Role, and, oh, you know, watch it on YouTube while you're, you know, prittering around doing other stuff, while you're gaming, whatever the case. But yeah, go through the first few episodes and then form your opinion, because it's quite in depth. There's a lot of history, and Matthew Mercer is a god when it comes to his ability to switch between characters, honestly. It's like Whiplash. It's fantastic.
I'm a little bit behind with movies, and I was going to say it's because we can't take my child to the movies to go with us.
Yeah,
so
John's
limited my ability. However, this movie came out in, I believe, 2016, which is now 3 years ago, scarily enough.
Yeah, you were not going out well before your daughter was born.
Yes, it's true. I am something of a introvert / not wanting to go out person in some ways. But this movie I want to talk about today is called Passengers, and it relates to surviving the apocalypse. And I know that we basically never talk about things that relate to the very title and purpose of the podcast. But this very strongly does relate to the apocalypse. So in this story, the Earth has become overpopulated.
No.
I mean, I guess we're headed that direction, exponential growth of human population, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's just going to happen. So what they've done is they've created spaceships and they're flying off a little bit like the Lost in Space TV show that was on last year.
So good. Yep.
Which Adam really enjoyed. I still haven't finished it.
Oh, right.
I lost steam because I was like, oh, this is the motivations of the villain. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
There's just, it's not clear. Anyway, back to passengers. Mm-hmm. So similar kind of concept there on this Starliner flying across, but it's hyper-realistic, sort of near future, but not quite so like midterm future.
Yes, never seen it.
Oh, okay.
But like I saw trailers and things like that. And I must say, it looks stunning.
Oh, yeah, they've done a really good job of the effects. I'm kind of sad I didn't see it in the cinema just because of the experience of all the effects and stuff. It was really good.
Yeah.
Anti-gravity pool swimming and weird stuff like that. Well, actually, it was accidental, but anyway, that's going into the in-depth plot of the movie. But yes, I watched this movie just recently, actually last night with my wife. Because we saw the trailer when we were in the cinemas once. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. But never really took the plunge to go see it in the cinema. And it came out on Netflix. So we decided to watch it. And I was not blown away. Mm. But I really found the concepts in the movie fascinating.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I guess I'm worried about spoilers, but I think because it's think the 3 years old.
Yeah, and I am, if I'm going to watch it, I'm not really going to mind about spoilers. I know how it ends anyway, so it's already been spoiled for me.
Because it does have one of your soon-to-be favorite actors in it.
Soon-to-be?
Which is, oh, okay, already favorite actor.
Are you talking about Chris Pratt?
No. Michael Sheen, who's in... Good Omens.
Yeah, that's a boy. Mm-hmm.
With David Tennant. So Michael Sheen is actually in this movie and he plays a robot android bartender.
That looks cool.
And he does a really good job of like both seeming like a fun, interesting character, adding to the dynamic, but also not ruining the loneliness aspect of it.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know anything about the movie and don't know what I'm talking about, loneliness aspect, basically what happens is... The main character, played by Chris Pratt, wakes up suddenly from his cryo sleep.
That's something I don't know. Why? Was it a malfunction?
There basically was a collision with an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
No spoilers there. It's literally in the first scene, but from now on there will be spoilers. So he wakes up. It's like, you've been asleep for 120 years. In 4 months, you'll arrive on the planet. So just enjoy the spaceship. Imagine like a cruise ship type situation where they get food and they can swim around in swimming pools and
that's cool.
You know, all this stuff, getting them ready to land on the planet in 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, he starts asking the computers because there's no one else around. And he's like, what's going on? And then he eventually finds out that it's not been 120 years. It's actually only been, I forget, 30 years or something like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, 30 years. And he realizes that there's going to be another 80 years before they arrive at the planet. So he's like, okay, I'll just get back in my cryopod. But in the movie universe, the cryopods can't put you back to sleep. They just keep you in the sleep status. It's actually a huge operation that is done back on Earth to get you into the first cryo sleep state.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually no tools on the ship. So he's like...
That seems an incredible oversight on the designs.
A very big oversight, but they were like, there's no way in the world these things will ever malfunction and wake someone up. It can just never happen.
That is the silliest thing ever.
Technology always fails. And I could have told them that. If I was involved in the creation of the ship, I'd be like, by the way, put an extra little thing that will
help people go back to sleep. Yeah. Just in case. Like just a jab in the neck, you know? Fill them with liquid nitrogen. That won't kill them, surely.
Now, what kind of happens next is he basically tries to enjoy himself on the ship, but quickly realizes he's going to go a little bit crazy.
As you would. I think I'd be fine.
I mean, you would. You would if you just found the library and started reading books.
Oh, yeah.
Which, funny enough, is what he does. So what happens is he goes out on a spacewalk and he's kind of at the end of his tether. Metaphorical tether. He also gets the end of the physical tether hanging him to the ship. But
nice.
Cross whatever. Anyway, he comes back in and you can just tell like he's feeling really alone. So he goes back, he doesn't put on the spacesuit, and he's about to open the airlock. And essentially, then it would be over for him. He wouldn't have to live out the rest of his 80 years alone.
Mm-hmm.
But decides at the last minute not to do it. And then he goes on a crazy run through the ship, not sure what to do, trips over a bottle and...
Just out of curiosity at this point, how long had he been alone?
A year and a few months.
Okay, radio. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how long the average person would go crazy in solitary confinement or anything. I assume they did a bit of research to choose how long. Okay.
I do have heard through reports and what have you that criminals and what have, like in incarcerated criminals, hate solitary more than anything else. They don't like it. It sends them a bit loopy.
Humans are kind of wired for human connection. And I know as an introvert gamer...
But that's a thing. I mean, even like, yes, I'm a self-confessed introvert that enjoys being alone. But at the same time, I enjoy the company of those who I like, you know, who I enjoy. Like if I couldn't have that, especially over the course of like a year, 80 years, I'm sure even I would go a bit loopy.
Because I was just thinking to myself, what's the longest I haven't even, not just human contact, because I reckon that'd be a matter of hours.
Yeah.
How long have I not had contact with anyone I knew or knew me?
Mm.
And I'd say that it's when I went on a work conference, said goodbye to all the workmates and went on travel for about 2 weeks before visiting my brother in the US.
Yeah.
That was probably the longest I went without talking to anyone that I knew at all.
Oh, right.
But even still, I still Skyped my now wife and I was still talking to other people and be like, hey, how's it going? Or at least
you still
like,
had
can I buy a burger was something that I was asking a lot in the US.
Yeah.
That was the longest, like probably two weeks. Is the longest I've gone. And that's just not including people that I don't know. So
we definitely need community.
Yeah.
We definitely need other people around us. And hey, you may, and believe I fight against this more than anyone in existence, but the fact is you can argue against it all you like. But if push comes to shove and you're in a position where you are completely isolated from every single person, then you will crave human contact.
And so he trips over this bottle.
Yeah. And sidebar, correct. Yeah, well done.
It was a good segue, though.
Mm-hmm.
He trips over the bottle and then he looks around and he sees, well, this woman. And he obviously is like, oh, wouldn't it be great just to be able to talk to her or whatever? So he looks up her profile, finds out she's a writer and starts reading everything that she wrote.
Oh, right.
This, like, greatly improves his demeanor. I think he even shaves his face and all this stuff because he's become quite beardy.
Disheveled.
Mm-hmm. Disheveled.
So just as a point of reference here, the two actors, primary actors, well, three, if you will, Michael Sheen, Chris Pratt, and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, although Michael Sheen is probably not at the forefront there because he's only in a few scenes.
He is for me now.
He is for you, yeah.
But I love Chris Pratt. He's like, he's such a goofy guy. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Space Lord or whatever he's called. Star-Lord.
Avengers. I hate him in the Avengers. I hate him in the Avengers. I mean, they almost had the Infinity Gauntlet off Thanos. Almost.
Spoilers, I haven't seen it yet.
Just having a look here. When did Infinity War come out?
All right. We've sidetracked. I was describing the movie to people. So he does see Jennifer Lawrence. He starts reading her books, which I thought is something that Adam would probably end up doing if he was in this situation, just reading all the books. Oh, but unfortunately, he falls in love and he has this huge dilemma of whether to wake her up. Now, in the end, of course, he does, wakes her up, pretends that it wasn't him, but eventually she finds out, gets really angry, etc., etc. Drama ensues.
Of course.
So it brings a very interesting question.
Yep.
Which my wife actually asked me while we were watching the movie, which is, if you were in this situation where you're going to live out the rest of your life without any human contact whatsoever, unless you count the Michael Sheen robot.
I think that'd be enough for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, for you, obviously.
Like, I honestly, like, but if there was a facsimile of human interaction, I think I'd be okay with the robot.
So, let's say it's not Michael Sheen.
Sorry, the question. Yeah.
What is your least favorite actor in the world? Sansa Stark.
No, I don't mind Sophie Turner.
Oh, okay.
My least favorite
actor in the world. Just that's who they are.
Okay.
And so it's no longer Michael Sheen. So you're alone. What do you do? Would you wake someone up? Would you condemn someone to never being able to make it to the new planet? Oh, you're going to sneeze. Oh, wow. That's
sorry.
Never being able to make it to the new planet. You basically, and what Jennifer Lawrence says at one point in the movie, you basically killed that person in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you have condemned them to death. Like, that is, there's no way about it. That's exactly what has been done. He's woken up this woman and basically said, you're going to die with me.
So,
would I do it?
Would you do it? Would you wake someone up?
As I literally just said, we as a species crave human contact, be it in any way, shape, or form. I think I'd be able to hold out quite a while. Just if they've got a library there, I'm...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. I would enjoy the silence and the solitude, and if there's that robot there, that would help prolong.
I think similarly, they at one point find a piano, and I was like, oh, if I could just become the greatest pianist in the world...
Pianist.
And record all these songs and stuff and give them as a gift for the new society on the new planet.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and I would just basically try to learn the most skills that I could, because I'm all right with the piano, but I have not even scratched the surface.
No, John. No. You're great with the piano.
But like technical skills and stuff, like being able to play really fast or up and down, not very good at that. So eventually, I would just learn that.
You'd become the master pianist.
It does kind of... It's based on this assumption that we can stay in this good mental state where we enjoy reading and we enjoy music. But even at home, sometimes I'll be making music and I'm just like, oh, I'm sick of this. And then...
Well, it depends on the books for me, really. I mean, if I struggle to get through something, like, it literally affects me on a mental level. Like, I would get grumpy if I'm forced to go... And when I say forced, I mean the fact of I want to finish this because I'm a completionist. Yeah. And so I'm literally stuck listening to this drudgery.
And that just ruins your mental state.
Yeah, it does. So I would say I would not. I would last as long as I could. And then I would probably... no, I couldn't do that because I hate space and it terrifies me.
Oh, you wouldn't jump out the airlock?
Nope, couldn't do it. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, we don't have to discuss how you would end up doing that. Yeah, but
no. More along the lines of, I don't know what I would do. Like, I mean, you'd think that'd be like the easiest way out. But I mean, I think the important thing is to have goals. So if you have goals, it's easier to endure this. Like, I think what you just said there, to leave a gift for those other people.
It's really all you can do of value is, yeah.
And that is a magnificent thing to do. So I'd try to work towards that, like writing great works of fiction because...
Yep.
Fiction breeds empathy, and you want an empathetic society.
Yeah, on the new planet. I think so, definitely. And there is this scene where Jennifer Lawrence is basically running from one side to the other. And I think, like, keeping your fitness up and stuff like that, just like personal goals, like you say, just things to look forward to because you've got no one else.
Well, John, let's just say this happens, you know, tomorrow. They're like, oh, surprise, we've built all these spaceships and we're going out.
No. Right? I mean, you wouldn't even get on the spaceship.
Well, no, let's just say, right, this is a lottery and, these people are going. The cast of Surviving the Apocalypse and the Nerds, congratulations, you're going on.
They're
and
like,
there's
these
no choice.
People could survive a new planet. They've got a podcast about survival. And we're like, no, more of a joke.
And they're just going to be like, no, on you go. Yes. No, but I don't want to get on your damn spaceship, peasant man. Listen to these guys. Hilarious. Under the ship you go, hatches close, injected with liquid nitrogen, and then thrown into space.
I don't think injecting...
No, that's exactly how cryogenics works, okay?
Okay.
There's no science to disprove me otherwise. you're frozen, popsicle going through space, malfunction, I'm woken up, and I'm going to be like, well, this is just brilliant. Spend, you know, like a year or two just partying with books, talking with a robot, becoming best friends with him, teaching him how to love, or her, whatever. And then after that, I'd be like, would I wake John up? That's the question. I'd be standing over your frozen body and I'd just be like...
But think 120 years, I think we do about a podcast every 2 weeks. So that'd be at least 3,000 episodes.
You see, unfortunately, like now, I'm struggled with a dilemma of waking you up, which is you have a child, right?
Yeah, so I'd just where's be like, Bethel in this?
Exactly. So I'd just be like, if I wake him up, then he doesn't get to see his daughter grow up and the daughter doesn't get to know him. So I'd just be like, I'd literally be standing over you for probably, I don't know, 7 months. Just, I hate you, John, for putting me in this situation. I hate you for making us do a podcast about surviving the apocalypse and then the government misinterpreting that. But in the end, I probably wouldn't wake you up.
That kind of leads me to my next question, which I pose back to my wife after she asked me this, which is, would you ever forgive the person who did it to you? So let's say I woke you up.
Yep.
So you would?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wake me up and if they tried to misdirect me, I'd be furious and I'd set him on fire.
Yeah.
But if they came out and, hey, if we're ever in a situation, fine listeners, and we're on an intergalactic spaceship filled with liquid nitrogen.
Very probable.
And one of you malfunction and wake up, you know, you thaw too early, whatever. And you're standing over my casket, wake me up. I understand. I get, hey, you want some company? I'm fine with that. But I don't need a planet.
If you're going to choose anyone to prevent you from going crazy, I wouldn't necessarily choose Adam as a first choice.
That's fair.
But I mean, it's up to you.
I mean, beggars can't be choosers, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they should do in this intergalactic spaceship is have a little tile emblazoned on, well, tattooed on you, whatever, because you are filled with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And basically it just says, willing to wake up early.
Oh, that's good. And then you know. Yeah. Oh, I like it.
Yep. So, John, I wouldn't wake you up. But you apparently would wake me up. Charming.
Well, I mean, I didn't say that. I mean, if I had a choice, I would just wake up my wife.
Yeah.
And wake daughter. Only if I can do both, right?
But, I mean, think about it. I mean, is that a life? Would you wake up your wife and daughter? Or would you let them build a new life on the planet?
Oh man.
Yeah, Phil. Oh, you've got all those deep questions now, don't you?
All right. I just hope I never get onto this situation. Yeah.
We'll just stay on Earth and continue the podcast. How about that? Done.
Sounds good.
But let us know, fine listeners, if you were on the ship, would you wake someone up? Or would you be okay to be woken up? Because we'll create a data list and we'll forward that to the government so that way they know.
I've got a special song for you, Adam.
For me?
It's
for me.
It's for John, kind of everyone.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
So this song, it's actually produced by some person called Pianocle. I don't know who that is, but
I've heard he's fantastic.
it's by a singer-songwriter here in Perth who comes from New Zealand. They wrote this song one Saturday morning with a hangover or something, I think the story goes.
George Ezra, yes.
But we produced this song together, and I thought I'd share it with you because, well, we haven't done a music segment in a while, and if you find a local Perth artist, it's always a good thing.
We do love our local artists.
Let's give it a listen.
Alrighty, play that song.
Sipping a beer at the after party, I look around and meet your the corners of your mouth turn up, your hair falls over your face, and I think this might be love, it might be love, this might be love on a Friday night, this might be love, it might be love, we might find love just for tonight. Small of my back, and will you pour a drink for me, and will we laugh together over a casual chat, and I think this might be love, it might be love, this might be love on a Friday night. Play. to unbutton your shirt and I'm so shy. But I think this might be love. Stars at the after party, and low, and low. This might be love, it might be love, this might be love on a Friday night. This might be.
So there you have it. If you like the song, it's called After Party and it's by Anna King.
It's very chill.
It's out on Spotify, iTunes, basically everything. Just search for it and you'll find it.
Everything in existence is After Party. So saith the sentient plant.
Oh, wow.
Dawa, play us out.
The human concept of music is of no consequence to me. I am a higher form of intelligence than you can possibly comprehend and have therefore transcended the need for what you humans call entertainment. However, that song sounded good. It had an enjoyable rhythm.
So, John.
So, Adam.
We don't use this much. And that is Twitter. Because, well, we don't.
Well, I just tweeted just earlier before the podcast about your awesome book.
It's true. My little... that book now is... I like notebooks, folks. I don't trust electronics. They're evil and filled with malice. And so I like to write my stuff down in notebooks. And now I have a podcast notebook, which, you know, will hopefully add a bit of...
organization.
Yeah, so we'll go with that. I was going to accountability, but that's all right. Anyway, so yeah, we don't use Twitter much. But I was thinking about Twitter followers. And I thought to myself, you know what? Let's have this little fun thing where who has more? Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum.
Oh,
ba-bum, bum,
have
ba-bum.
You put you and me on this? Because no. I actually don't know who has more followers.
I'm fairly certain. That's
actually,
be,
let's.
You know what? That's going to be. No. I'll look it up. But
okay.
That's going to be one of them. So, yeah. Well, we'll do that at the end. Okay. So first, John, who has more followers out of Domino's Pizza and KFC?
Definitely Domino's.
Wrong.
What?
Domino's no, has nah. 1.2 million and KFC has 1.3. I've done my research.
Oh, is Domino's only a thing in Australia?
No, Domino's is all over the place, dude.
Nah, I don't believe you. I'm actually looking it up now because I don't believe you. I won't check everyone.
Look at... Okay. Hey, yeah,
oh,
okay.
Whoops. That's Australian Domino's. All right. Domino's
I didn't look
versus...
at that. I looked at KFC. KFC. Yeah. All right. Go on. 1.3 right, right. for KFC.
1.3. Oh,
one
what?
Point. There you go.
Okay, I believe you from now on. Oh,
thanks.
Everything else.
Thanks. Appreciate that, mate. All right. Who's got more? Patrick Rothfuss, because it's not Surviving the Apocalypse of the Nerds Way without one mention of him.
Yes.
Or Brandon Sanderson?
Rothfuss, for sure.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Patrick Rothfuss with 232,000 and Brandon Sanderson with 178,000. Folks, let's get Patrick Rothfuss up a bit higher. Thank you very much.
I'm sure we'll double his Twitter followings from
yep,
mentioning.
Totally. So who is more out of Justin Bieber and Barack Obama?
Biebs. It's got to be Biebs.
Interesting. I have them both at 105 million each.
Oh, they're equal.
Yep. I didn't go through like 105.2.
Question for you. Okay. Who's had more influence on the American public?
Oh, I think long term it'll be Obama, short term yeah. Justin Bieber. But I like Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Not a political statement, I just think he's cool.
Yeah, cool person.
Yeah. All right. Katy Perry or YouTube?
Katy Perry.
By a mile. So yeah. 107 million to YouTube's 71.21 million.
Oh.
Yeah, that's got to hurt.
Ouch. Sorry, YouTube.
All right. What about this one? This man loves to use Twitter. Donald Trump.
Oh.
Or Twitter itself.
Oh, come on, Twitter.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Your answer is wrong.
Oh.
Donald Trump has 59 million.
Surely everyone has him blocked. I thought Twitter hates like politics or something.
No, man, they love, like, you know, all the trolls love feeding on that stuff.
Okay.
So Twitter's 56 million. So now this one, the space agency NASA, who's, you know, in charge of, you know, asteroid detection, all fun stuff, you know, probably a good thing to have on Twitter to think, oh, look, oh, yeah, an asteroid's heading towards Earth. I should know about that, right? Or maybe. Britney Spears.
Well, Adam, I'm pretty sure Britney Spears will retweet NASA if there's a...
You know what? I don't think NASA... I don't think Britney Spears follows NASA. I'll look that up.
Oh, okay. I reckon it's got to be Britney's.
It is correct. It is most certainly Britney Spears. 30 million for NASA to 57 million Britney Spears.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know why she has 57 million Twitter followers. I mean, not a comment on her. Just a simple fact of, I mean... What has she got to say? I don't understand. I mean, NASA has probably a lot of things to say that are important and educational. And Britney Spears would be like, oh my God, I love this pineapple or whatever.
But do they do why music and
drama?
Who knows
about pineapple?
So, yeah. All right. Now you and I, John.
Ooh,
you're going to have to look this up.
All right. Just so we know, who do you think has more?
I think you.
You also think you,
but you're too humble to say it.
Okay.
Because I don't use Twitter that often.
Twitter.com/voiceofadam is you.
That's correct.
You've got 45 followers.
Oh, yes. 45. Look at that.
And good. You retweeted the Nerd's Way thing.
Of course I did.
And I've got 179.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice. I blew me out of the water there.
So we were both right. But who has the most, including the podcast? Oh, okay. Yeah, we actually both
still you.
We really need to tweet. More retweet the podcast more, it seems.
Try and get some more people. Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us, twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod.
I love it. Brilliant. So yeah, that's an interesting one. All right, so the next one is let me just open up my Nerdsway notebook here. All right, John. If you can name one of the top three most viewed clips on YouTube, videos on YouTube, I will give you $150.
Whoa.
Yep. That's a loud baby.
But the top, like, you mean the top one of all time?
No, one of the top three of all time. Yep. What'd you got?
$150. Can I look it up?
No, of course not.
So the top viewed video clip.
One of the top three. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't write that down. Yep.
It's gonna be Justin Bieber baby.
Oh, interesting. You should say that. All right. You're wrong. So you don't get 150 million. $150. Well, sorry, I lied. It was actually 150 million. So Justin Bieber's baby had 1.94 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. Quite good, but he just hovers around the top 25.
Oh.
So for me, I was wrong as well when I thought about this. I thought it's got to be Gundam style.
Oh, yeah.
I was wrong. Starting at number three, we have Ed Sheeran, The Shape of You.
Ah.
Yep. And that has a total of 3.65 billion views. And after that, you have Wiz Khalifa, I don't know, See You Again, And that has 3.67 billion.
So it's all modern songs.
It is. It
I was
really
thinking
is.
Like things that have been around for a while to collect up over time.
Unfortunately not. And a grand total, blowing the other two well out of the water, is, what is this one? Despacito. With 5.37 billion.
Okay, I was really close because I said a Justin Bieber song. Just saying, I reckon I deserve it.
That's got nothing. There's no Justin Bieber.
Yeah, he was in Despacito.
There's no Justin Bieber. That says Luis Fonsi featuring Daddy Yankee.
Oh, what? Oh, no, Justin Bieber did a version of Despacito.
Oh, I see. No, but in this case, it was definitely...
Okay, I still reckon I deserve $25.
I will give you a solid pat on the shoulder.
Okay, thanks. There you go. That's worth more than $25 to
me. That will warm you for us. That will warm you through the winter. You'll not get cold.
I'm feeling pretty warm right now. This music studio...
Yeah, it is
a bit
warm.
We had to turn off the fan because of heat. So, yeah, if you can hear the sweat going down our foreheads, just ignore it.
Yeah, it's just a slow trickle.
I've been wanting to do this for ages, Adam, but I've been putting it off because, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, I don't like going out and doing stuff in the real world.
High five, introverts.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what it was, and I'm going to lower our voice volume just now because it's a very serious subject to talk about.
I see. As you wish.
It's this thing called sensory deprivation.
Horrifying.
Now, if you've watched Stranger Things, you'll know what I'm talking about. What it is you get this water, you fill it up, and then you fill that water with a lot of magnesium salts, such to the point where the human body will float.
So much like the Red Sea.
Is it the Red Sea or the
Dead Sea?
Yeah, the Dead Sea. It's easy to get those confused.
Red Dead Sea. The stunning conclusion of Red Dead Redemption.
So it's that.
I see.
But I won some award at work.
Congratulations.
And my gift was a voucher to go to this.
Is this the float spa thing?
Yeah.
Ah, did you go?
I did.
Oh my goodness, you had not told me about this. This is amazing. How come we have not discussed this yet?
Because I did discover a superpower, as I had hoped that I would.
This is amazing. Yes, all right, go. Tell me all about it.
Okay, so you get there, and there's actually a sign on the door saying, please keep your voice down. This is a quiet space, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I open the door, and I'm like looking around, and there's no one there. So I'm just like, but I can't raise my voice to say, hey.
Oi, come and give me service.
But then I was like, wait, hang on. I'm wanting to rush into this. I'm wanting someone to come and serve me and tell me to sit down and do my things. But isn't this about relaxation?
Yeah.
So totally. I just stood there. I enjoyed the scented candle fragrance and the like slow pulsing music that they had playing. And there was even a chalk drawing on the wall. Drawn of a tree representing life and peace, all those good things.
I'm starting to lose interest, John. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Fair. So I just relaxed for a minute, and of course, the person came, they introduced me to what was happening, and sat me down.
They're going to drown you. This is the whole thing, isn't it?
Wow.
It's waterboarding. It's not the floating is them just holding a wet cloth over you and pouring water over it, isn't it? Because that's what happened to me when I went.
Adam, I don't think you went to the...
It was ran by the Russians, and it was in the back of a meatpacking plant. But they did say it was a float session. Sorry. Yes, continue.
Okay. So I sat down, had to think. They even let me choose what frequency of music I'd like to listen to, which is...
I have no idea about frequency, so I just go... 3, thank you. And no. Just confuse them. Is that a frequency? I don't know.
Adam, if you had a frequency of 3 hertz, your brain would not actually be able to perceive it as a sound.
You see, like, I disagree.
This is 3 hertz, right?
I can hear that. My brain is perceiving that. Now, if I was in a sensory deprivation tank as well, where all your senses are expanding, I think 3 is the exact number you'd want as a frequency because it's just humming and thrumming through the water like a tidal wave of rage cresting over you, giving you visions of madness and despair as Cthulhu finally rises from the tiny little pool. Obviously, you know, he's Lord of the Deep, but he rises from the float spa pool and attempts to devour humanity. Or not.
Yeah, so anyway, I get into the spa. Mm-hmm. No, I ended up choosing a music that was like a hope and forgiveness or something like that.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't it be really crazy if you chose like death metal or something like that? Can't really throw them. Just be like, yes, I'd like Black Sabbath, thank you. Adam, soothes me.
They only give you a choice of like some set ambient songs.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
So I chose my music, and then they put you in. You get a whole room basically to yourself, which has a shower and soaps and stuff. So you're supposed to wash beforehand.
Oh, I see. Yep.
My friend later told me that they didn't, and I was like, oh. But I guess it's full of salt.
You sicken me.
What gross stuff could exist in the salt? Anyway,
lots of stuff, I imagine.
Yeah. True.
Yikes. Anyway,
gross. Yeah. So you're supposed to have a cold shower. Now that was my first mistake. I had a warm shower.
Oh, okay.
Which means my body temperature warmed up, but the water in the spa is not like 40 degrees, nice, relaxing. It's just the temperature of your average human body, which I think is 37.5.
Wow. Okay.
So that your body can't perceive the water when you get in.
Yeah.
But I made my body temperature a bit too high, and especially the skin from having a warm shower. So when I lied in the thing, it felt a bit cold.
Right.
Anyway, it just, if anyone goes and does it, have a cold shower beforehand.
Problem noted. Good tips to have, folks. Good tips to have.
Yeah. So they give you a chance. You're allowed to go in and bathers, or you can go fully natural.
Nude.
And I'll leave it up to the audience to guess which one was me.
You. Oh, let's see.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, I only get one guess, right?
But you have a 50% chance.
Yes, this is true. And I get the answer either way, really.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go bathers.
No.
You went nude.
I actually, wow. It took a lot. It didn't actually take that much, but I was like, yep, I'm going to do it completely natural. You mm-hmm. even get earplugs and stuff if you want, but I was like, no, nope, I'm not going to do it because apparently if you squirt vinegar in, it clears out your ears. So I was like, I'll do
it. Oh, okay, gotcha. Right.
Afterwards, mm-hmm. afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I was like, why would you squirt vinegar into the salt bath of relaxation and harmony? But yes. Mm-hmm.
And then they play the music at whatever hertz that you chose, and you basically get in, and it's quite hilarious trying to get in for the first time because it's so full of salt that your body floats straight to the top. So you put your leg in, but your leg's being pushed up.
Wow.
Or it feels like it's being pushed up because of the buoyancy.
That's crazy.
So it was quite hilarious. And then you kind of like sit there and you try and lie down or whatever. Mm. And there's this glowing light and the nice relaxing music and stuff.
Glowing light definitely sounds like a Cthulian ritual right now.
I mean, it was weird that people walked around the room and started chanting, but I assumed it was part of it. No, so yeah, you have this huge big lid, but it's hydraulic, so it's not too hard to open and close.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of sat there for a second and I was like, I'm going to go full experience, get the most I can out of this, try and get the lid closed as quick as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I closed it straight away and left the light on for a bit and just lied there like psyching myself up, ready to go, because I am quite a nervous person.
What's there to be nervous about, though?
I don't know. Like the monster.
Are you afraid something's just going to be like pinned to the top of the, you know, the roof, and when you close it properly and turn off the light, it moves and like drags you up
that,
or something?
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. But there is a button on the side, so I hit that, turned off the lights, and it all went dark. And mm-hmm. basically, how can I describe it? I wouldn't say that all my senses left my body and I transcended to another plane of existence.
Yep. No, you wouldn't say that, of course, because that would probably invoke governmental investigation and they'd probably imprison you and, I don't know, like in some type of special program for super gifted humans.
Okay. Well, they did do that, but for related reasons I'll explain later on.
Yep.
So I turned it off and I just started to laugh. I don't know why, but that was my body's response because it's such a different experience
right?
to what you'd expect.
Yeah.
So I started to laugh.
I can just, I would have loved to have been working there because I could just be like,
why is that
there's
guy
this naked
cackling?
Guy cackling in a casket full of water. I mean,
and that's going at the start of the episode.
So, yeah, I'd just be like, okay, yeah, there's a naked guy cackling. this is making me uneasy. Everyone evacuate the center. We're out. We're gone. Or better yet, you know what I would love to do? I would put like tiny little microphone and receiver in there. Okay? So that way when, you know, people are laying down,
no,
you could like be like,
hi there.
Just freak them out.
Oh,
just
be like, that's so evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That is one of the most evil things that you've said. And that's saying something.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so eventually I stopped. The giggles went away and I was able to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 1 hour long. 60 minutes.
Oh, okay.
In the
how
top.
Long... So from point of like you getting in, yeah, how long have you wasted essentially out of the tub?
Probably only 1 minute to two.
It took you
maybe
a minute
three.
To shower.
Oh, no, the timer doesn't start until...
Oh, until you get in.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
right.
can tell... I can't actually remember how. No, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe 5 minutes then, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Nah, it must have been shorter because I think the music lasts 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to complete silence and complete darkness.
Oh.
And the guy will actually turn off your light for you if you don't choose to do it yourself. For the greater experience. And I was
jeez,
like,
that is
no,
like so,
I am doing it.
That is so like, if you don't turn off your light, we will. It's so menacing.
You're supposed to lie down with your legs outstretched and you actually put your hands kind of over your head. And I'm doing it for Adam, but the listeners can't really
yeah.
see. And you leave it up. Almost imagine your hands by your ears and your arms folded a bit. And that, if you stand like that, that's the most relaxing for your body. So you,
mean you
don't have to think about where
lay
your limbs
like that.
Are. Did I say sit?
You said stand.
Stand.
You're standing
lying
the
down. There's no anti-gravity in this pod, okay?
Oh, bugger.
Yeah, so it all goes dark. And the 60 minutes, right, it lasts quite some time when you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
So for that time, you've got nothing but your own thoughts. And maybe the feeling of touching the edge, because I'm quite tall. The pod I do, I'm 6'4", and it's not long before
whoops.
I float around and hit one of the sides. And then it's just very gentle, but you can just feel the sides. So that's a bit distracting when you're first getting started before your brain's kind of adjusted to the lack of stimulus.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that. But apart from that, there's nothing else but you and your thoughts.
Okay.
And
this
for a person
is
like
creepy.
Me,
yep. mm-hmm.
yeah, for a person like me who has a lot of thought, probably too many thoughts about too many things, it was tough, I'll admit. But by the end of it,
so
yes,
yeah. Sorry, can I ask some questions about the experience?
Yes,
have you
yes.
finished?
No, keep asking.
Okay. So with this, I looked up some stuff that people's experiences in this type of stuff.
I hope this isn't scary.
No, not at all. So people talk about like kind of hallucinations.
Yes.
Like swirling colors and what have you above
yes.
them and all that type of stuff. Did you experience that?
Yeah, I actually saw random colors in a triangle shape flying from my face out.
Oh, wow. You definitely went to a different dimension, didn't you?
But I mean, that's what it felt like. But I'm not sure that it was a hallucination. I think it was just maybe my eyes, because I'd gone from very light to darkness, and
yeah.
that was just my eyes.
Adjusting.
It didn't feel like just a brain thing, or like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, because you're closing off all those senses, essentially.
Yeah, all I could see was just this triangle.
Mm-hmm. Did you have your eyes open or closed?
Most of the time closed, but you can't really tell whether you've got them open or closed, which is cool.
Fairly certain I'd be able to.
Well, no, you can, but you're not thinking about it, if that makes
fair
sense.
Enough, yeah.
So, yeah, most of the time.
Oh, okay, so anything weird and cool happen then? What else?
Let's see.
You
let's
said
see.
You discovered a superpower. What superpower is it? Is it the ability to see triangles?
Well, after that, I could see the whole of Joondalup, the city in which I live, and I could see everyone there and what superpower they had. So
I
discovered
see.
That I am Professor X from the X-Men.
Ah, okay. And the sensory deprivation pod is,
is Cerebrus.
Cerebro,
that's right.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so close.
Well, you jogged my memory, so that was good, because I was just like, I can't even remember that name.
Yeah.
I was almost having to hand in my nerd card.
Yeah, so the superpower I discovered was not that cool. It was just the ability to not be so affected by the things that are happening. I'm in a management position at my work, and it is at times quite stressful because there's a lot of things to consider, and I'm kind of managing two teams. So keeping that all in my head is tough sometimes. But
so you gave it to the universe, and you made the universe carry that burden.
Thanks,
John. It's not like the universe has enough to do.
And like someone in a laboratory somewhere was like, the laws of physics changed for a second.
There was like a minuscule.
John, what did you do?
The sun pulsed purple for just a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was it, really. That stress.
Sensory deprivation. Like, sounds awesome.
The sensory deprivation tank, when I walked out, I was feeling very relaxed. And over the next few days, I did. And I know this could be placebo and probably is. But placebo effect is real, right? So I felt more relaxed and I felt like I could think about what was happening and not just react and stress out about stuff, but have that kind of like.
I'd like to think of it as a reset for your senses. So it's like a hard reset, a shutdown, and then, you know, blinded by the light, as it were.
Yeah, we've had a few moments of across our friendship where, I mean, I'm a nervous person. I'm not ashamed to admit that, where you were like, all right, Adam. I mean, your name's Adam.
My name is Adam, John. Yeah, surprisingly.
You were like, oh, all right, John, this is a reset, a checkpoint, if you will.
And
if you're going through something tough, you just think back to this moment when your brain was clear. So we've had a few of those moments, and I'd say this was definitely one of those.
That's awesome. That's great.
And of course, now if I die, I'll just go back to the...
That's exactly how it works. Moment. That's exactly how checkpoints work. I'm constantly in a state of checkpoint just in case I die.
But wouldn't you want to leave a bit of time just in case you saved a checkpoint 3 seconds before you died and then you want some way to stop
it? I can avoid anything. It's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because knife! We just ruined the relaxedness of this segment.
So yes, John.
Yes.
You enjoyed your moment of floating in the deep and dark of, I don't know, some random space tank.
I have to say, like I was saying, the 60 minutes is long while you're in it. But once it ended, I was like, wow, that was so quick. It felt like, especially the last moments, it felt like my brain had been like, okay, I thought all the thoughts I needed to think, and it just, whoop, it reached the end of time. Like, because there was nothing.
Well, there's no way to track it.
Yeah.
Really?
There's no timer. There's no clock. There's nothing for me to do that takes time.
Sorry, I'm still blown away by the fact that they say, we will turn off the light if you do not.
They didn't say it that ominously. It was more like, and after 10
minutes.
I'd
want them to say that to me like that. If I ever go to a float.
Wait.
And if they don't say, now, all I'm imagining is some like preppy health spa type of girl
going,
hi, how are you today, Adam? So today, we're going to put you in this, you know, spherical tub of doom, right? And it's filled with water. You're not going to be able to get out. We're going to close and lock it. You're going to have a light for 5 minutes.
You can
turn it off at any time. But if you don't, we will turn it off for you. And if you do not, we will enter the tub. And we will put you under the water. You know, something like that.
They don't lock the tub. They don't lock you in. You can open it.
No, nonsense. They should totally do that.
You've discovered a new niche. It's like you've got relaxing sensory deprivation. And then you've got like horror experience sensory deprivation.
I'll see. I'll open up a business and see it tank in, you know, a week.
Tank. Then you walk out, you get changed. Mm-hmm. I should probably clarify, into your clothes.
You know, well, I just figured you'd be so relaxed at this point that you'd just be like,
why do I care what people think?
I'm walking out. Yeah.
Exactly. You put on your clothes. You have your shower, squirt your ears with vinegar, etc., etc. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out.
I think you've lost me at squirting my ears with vinegar now.
But and then there's this like nice relaxing lounge where you can read up about the benefits of day sparring. I guess they're trying to get you into doing it again, which I must admit is kind of tempting. Until
I'm tempted
I saw
to
how
do
much
it. Maybe
it
we
costs.
Should do it.
We should do it together. It's happening.
We can do a podcast before. I wonder if we've got to try and get like a microphone or something in there or some type of recording material, because then we can describe what's happening.
Yeah, you can keep your phone. You can keep your phone and you'd be able to describe it.
Excellent.
Just leave it in your pants on record or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely not going at the start of the episode.
just leave it in your pants. Yeah, just put both of them side by side. That's great.
So you come out and you've got the benefits of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also have this like free pot of tea that you can just drink. And my goodness, they must have put some kind of weird drug in this tea.
Oh, wow.
Because it was so delicious and relaxing. And you're able to just sit there and think, and then there's more music playing and the scented candles and this delicious tea. Oh, it's such a good feeling.
Hmm.
And then someone did come out to talk to me, which I did appreciate, but I almost wish they could have waited a bit before making someone come out to say hi.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people do go in pairs, so they chat to each other.
Oh,
but
right.
When it's just yourself, they didn't want you to feel awkward or whatever. But I was like, just enjoying that. Ah.
Hmm.
Relaxation.
Well, you're not going to enjoy it when I'm with you.
Yeah, you'll be like, Adam, John.
Well, I know you want to be me, mate, but I mean, you know, just dial it back a little
bit.
You'll
say
obsession.
To me, you'll be like, yeah. John, are you feeling relaxed? I'll be like, yes, I am. And then you'll just proceed to like poke me.
I'll just be like, do you feel relaxed now? And then I'll pull out a meat cleaver and start swinging it at you.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be like,
no, actually,
Adam,
I'll swing it at myself.
How did you carry that in if you went in board shorts? And you'll be like, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know at all.
I reckon we should get, I don't know if you have Fitbit or something, but like something to measure our heart rates and see if it affects our stress levels or something.
I see. Anyway. Well, I'm in a constant... Just my baseline is stress. So it's just like, you know, if it comes to pass and my heart rate drops, my body's probably going to think I'm dying and start pumping me full of adrenaline.
Okay. So the place is called Beyond Rest, and there's a whole bunch of places all around Perth. I went to the Joondalup one. The people there were lovely. I'm sure if you're not in
Australia,
a lot of
West Coast Eagles players go there and use that.
If you're not in Australia or not in Perth, I'm sure you'll find sensory deprivation or float tanks.
Float tanks are a thing, definitely.
Yeah, float tanks. Just Google it.
It's going to be great. Enjoy it, because if you don't, they will turn the light off for you.
Yeah, we're definitely not getting a sponsorship for this episode.
Or maybe they will, because we're going to go and talk about it. It's going to be great. Well, now that we have discussed your relaxation, for me, my culmination, my surging and I don't know, whatever. The way I relax is by reading, by stories. And I'm an avid devourer of fantasy and sci-fi and all that fun stuff. But I elected to try something different this time. And it's an
what?
It's an Audible book. And it's by Stephen Fry, written and performed by Stephen Fry. And I must say, I've picked up some wonderful new words from listening to this book, because he's such a loquacious individual. He's very...
What does that even mean?
Well, he talks a lot, I guess, but he talks beautifully. He's got this voice that just... It's classic British, and it's brilliant. I love it. Anyway, so the book is called Mythos, and it's about the Greek gods and all their fun, glory, and all the mischief they get
up
to.
Wait, Adam. I thought you were into the Norse gods.
Oh, I am.
I'm going to tell them about this.
Oh no. No. Fenrir and Tyr, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. It's all about the Greek gods. Now, the thing about the Greek gods is that, you know, there's quite a bit of history behind them. But they are so... some of the names are ridiculous. So, name some gods for me.
Zeus.
Uh-huh. Yep, that is... the king of the gods, yep.
There's probably another one.
There's many others, surprisingly. Mm-hmm.
They've all... escaped my memory.
They've all... fair enough.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, Jupiter, Mars, Venus...
Nope, that's Roman.
Ah.
I mean, they are based off the Greek equivalent, but still, they are Roman. Funny enough, so the moons of Jupiter... are all of Zeus's and Jupiter's.
Atlas.
That is one, yes. He's technically a Titan, but, you know, whatever.
Oh.
The moons of Jupiter are named after Zeus's lovers.
Oh.
Yeah, which is pretty funny. I like that. Like all the women that he had extramarital affairs with. So, because he was married. Zeus was married to Hera.
Talk about, like, our sins never really leaving us.
Yeah. He's orbiting him always. Anyway, one of the weirdest names I've ever heard was, like, what was it called? A Hecatombe, which is one of the first kind of beings. It's difficult to explain the pantheon in its entirety in a quick format. So, basically, there was nothing. And then there was something. There was Gaia and Uranus, and basically from them, all life sprang.
I know Gaia, because if you typed it in Age of Empires, you got to control all the animals.
Now I really want to play Age of Empires.
Oh, it's such a good game.
Yeah, totally is, totally is. Anyway, so Mythos is all about the Greek gods from Golden Age, Silver Age, and onwards. And some of it's really fantastic. Like, he's such an engaging storyteller because it's not him just sitting down reciting facts. It's almost like a conversation. Like, he's having a conversation with you that's entirely one-sided, but you're just fascinated with everything this man is saying.
Yeah, I must admit, I fell in love with Stephen Fry's voice when they did the movie of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, right.
He does the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And you couldn't ask for more, really.
No, you could not. So he does some other stuff on Audible and stuff, but it's, I'd highly recommend it because it is engaging and it gives you an insight into history because from like a lot of the Greek notions comes a lot of our stuff, essentially, be it language, because, you know, English has a lot of Greek-rooted words and stuff like that. I just really recommend it because it's something different, at least for me. And it was presented in, like, I don't know if it's actually out on book, but on Audible. So it can be a little bit difficult to follow because some of the names are absolutely insane. And you're just like, wait, what? Who did this person do this with that? But thankfully, Stephen Fry, he does a good job in like reminding you of it. So it's like,
oh, wow. It's actually written by him.
Yeah.
He doesn't just narrate it.
No,
and it is a physical book too. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. So the summary of the book is this. The Greek myths are among the greatest stories ever told, which is true. I must admit, some of the stuff that they talk about is absolutely weird and insane, like Zeus turning into a golden shower and impregnating a woman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's some crazy, crazy stuff. He's a bit of a douchebag, I must admit. You know who I like? I like Hades. Because Lord of the Underworld.
I thought Hades was a place, not a person.
Both. Hades is named in his honor.
Oh, okay.
So think of... difficult to describe. So Hades, he pretty much just chilled in the underworld. He took care of his own realm. The only bad thing he did, as in quote unquote, and really not so bad compared to what all the other gods did with all the nonsense they got up to, but he kidnapped one of the other goddesses, Persephone, who was very, very pretty. But she ended up kind of falling in love with him. And she spends 6 months of every year down ruling the underworld next to him. And he didn't do anything to her. He just wanted her company because, you know, Zeus just did his business, got on with him, and everyone hated him for it. Bastards. Sorry. Dreadful. Hades was a legend. Anyway, so...
It's interesting that you mentioned the underworld because there was this great game. It was actually a Flash game, and it's called Don't Look Back. Which, I mean, sounds pretty scary, right? Was written about Orpheus. Do you know the story of Orpheus?
No, he hasn't been covered yet.
I'm sure he will.
Orpheus.
But his love interest, I believe, was trapped in the underworld, right?
Mm.
And Hades agreed to let, I think it's Eurydice, allow her to come back out with Orpheus under one condition, which was that he had no proof that she was following him.
Mm.
He had to walk all the way out of the underworld again and not turn around, i.e. doubting Hades' fate, trusting Hades.
Mm-hmm.
So if he turned around, she would instantly be trapped in the underworld forever with no way to take her back. But if he made it all the way out of the underworld, they would be able to live forever. Or not forever, but have a good life together. Now, of course, what happens is pretty sad. He gets all the way to the edge and has this huge doubt right at the very, very end and turns around.
How annoying.
Now, this game was brilliant because it's like a platformer and you have to jump around and you do all these puzzles to get into the underworld.
Mm.
And then you have to redo all the exact same puzzles.
In reverse.
In reverse, except for one small difference. You can't turn around.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's such a brilliant game.
That's a good one.
It's not like good graphics or anything. It's just a 2D side scroller.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, some of those games are pretty fun and engaging. But that story is probably covered in his other book called Age of Heroes. or Age of Legends or whatever it is. But one of the cool ones I found to be quite funny is, so Hermes is pretty cool as well, right? So Hermes originally was like a messenger for the gods and a escort for the dead, right? Except a lot of people died. So instead he gave that duty to another god called Thanatos.
Wait a minute. Thanos?
Thanatos. But, you know, probably the inspiration of Thanos.
Yeah.
So Thanatos, he... there's this guy. He's a massive douchebag. But he basically cheated death, which never happens. Cheated Thanatos. Cheated Hades because he was meant to die. Zeus is just like, right, this guy, he's a naughty boy. Not, he wasn't too naughty. He's just like, oh, trying to give advice to the gods and stuff like that. A lowly mortal comparing himself to a god. So Zeus tried to, you know, have him killed. So Thanatos, this, think classic Reaper, not without a scythe, but with manacles, okay. Right? So he appears, and the way Stephen Fry describes it, it's actually quite funny. And he appears, and he's just like, oh, the time has come, you know, here's these manacles, put them on you. And the guy's like, yes, these manacles, fine craftsmanship and things like that, but I don't know, I mean... Basically, he tricked him into putting the manacles on himself, which cannot be opened by anyone but Hades. And when they're on, you can't really move.
Oh, so like, oh, I don't know, how do you close it?
Kind of, yeah. Would it you couldn't fit work? Them on. Yeah. You couldn't even fit them on your hands. And he's like, yes, you could see, and just push that latch down there. And he's like, oh. And he just pushes him into a closet.
Genius.
Yeah, pushes him into a closet and leaves. And for like 2 months, nobody on Earth died because Thanatos was just gone.
Nice one.
And then it was discovered that this human had cheated death. And so, basically, he was commanded to die once more. But there was funeral rites that are associated with a lot of this stuff to gain entry into underworld and all this type of stuff. And so he told his wife, listen, when I die, I don't want you to do anything with my body. No funeral rites, no coins. I just want you to throw my body into the street and, you know, let people beat the crap out of it, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, lovely, right? But the wife's like, no, I don't want to. He's like, yeah, we'll do it. So basically he manipulated Persephone, queen of the underworld, into thinking that his wife was this crazy old woman that didn't love her and didn't love him and wanted to not offer any sacrifices to the queen of the underworld. You know what you should do, you know, Lordess Persephone? You know what would be quite funny? You should let me go back so that way I can taunt her. You know, make her go back alive.
He's a genius.
Oh, yeah, totally, because he played on the god's vanity and he went back.
This is so you.
And they lived happily ever after for... You know, well, you know, 60 years or whatever it was. And
genius.
Then yeah. Then he died. Now, the second death, this is, I can't remember his name, but you'll know the story.
Okay.
Because this one is one of Zeus's more vindictive things, of course. He died, obviously, at the ripe old age. And... went back to the underworld, back to Hades. And Hermes was there. Now, Hermes only greets those who are important, you know? So Hermes is there just saying, like, you cheat death twice. Well done, old chap. Here, come with me. Come with me. I have an idea. And he takes me to this room and he's like, well, if you'd like, you could ascend to immortality. But all you have to do is push this rock up this hill. And then if you get it up there, that little hatch there, that will open and you'll be able to live immortal up above forever. But the catch is, if you start... you cannot stop. Or you can go now to the fields of Elysium, which is bliss incarnate forever. But the temptation of immortality was too much for the young hero. And he is still there now, pushing that rock up that slope. Always trying to get it up that last few inches, but never able to. And that's the story of hubris. Be happy with what you have.
Yeah. Oh man.
But yeah, that's one of the stories. There's like so many of them, and some of them are really good. And it's just Stephen Fry's voice. It commands respect. So I'll read the summary properly. The Greek myths are amongst the greatest stories ever told, passed down through millennia, inspiring writers and artists as varied as Shakespeare, Michelangelo, James Joyce, and Walt Disney. They're embedded deeply in the traditions, tales, and cultural DNA of the West. You'll fall in love with Zeus. You won't. Marvel at the birth of Athena. Wince at Cronos and Gaius' revenge on Uranus. Weep with King Midas and hunt with the beautiful and ferocious Artemis. So, yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff, honestly. Apollo and Artemis, like the birth of the gods. It's fascinating.
I know Artemis from Ready Player One.
Ah, yes, yes. And she is the mistress of the hunt. So, yes, give it a listen, folk, because it is... Oh, give it a read. I would probably say this is a good book to read before you listen to it.
Oh.
But the advantage of listening to it is you get the correct pronunciation of all the words.
Yes, true.
So
Persephone is quite difficult to get right.
Yes, but I mean the Hecatombe, which is like a multi-headed, multi-limbed, multi-eyed beast that, you know, hurls rocks at Titans and stuff like that. Very fascinating stuff. Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, give it a listen. You'll enjoy it. And if you don't, well, honestly, Zeus will come for you. Alas, we have come to the end of the podcast.
Not just this episode. That's the final episode of Surviving the Apocalypse. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we'll be around forever.
Literally,
we have taken the elixir of immortality. I hold the two, almost the three, trying to get a lack of that third, track of the third, the invocations of torment. And John has the litany of faith.
Well, I was going to say that I told my wife just to leave me on the street when I die so that I can come back.
Trick Persephone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yep. That's fair, that's fair. But yes, it's. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If not, please let us know, because I love receiving hate mail and it makes me happy. So make me happy.
He really does. I know most people think that he's joking, but actually he has it all on a picture frame glued to his wall that he looks at before going to sleep each night and just smiles at all the hate comments.
Mm.
I mean, we don't get that much hate comments.
We don't. No,
ever. But it makes a good story.
Yes, it does. So anyway, if you have anything to say to us, anything at all, suggestions, comments, queries, elaborate lies, whatever the case may be.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
Yeah, please contact us at Gmail, our email account, which is John, the Nerd's Way,
The Nerd's Way at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. You can tweet us at
twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod.
Or you could contact us on Facebook, which is
facebook.com/thenerdsway.
Or alternatively, you could search for us literally anywhere by typing into Google Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerd's Way. And, of course, we have t-shirts for sale if you want to jump onto those. They are at TeePublic. You can also get other stuff as well, notebooks, mugs, all that other fun stuff.
Baby onesies.
Yeah, we're totally getting that for Baby Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fantastic. Yep, so it's going to be fantastic. If you enjoyed this, give it a thumbs up. If not, you know, I don't know. I've got nothing.
We won't cry, we promise.
I might, but it'll be tears of fury, and my tears actually spawn tiny little elemental subjects of hate, which will hunt down basically anybody like the Furies of old. So,
wow.
You just be wary.
Be wary.
So, I hope you have a wonderful week. John, do you have any final comments?
Yeah.
Too late. Thank you for listening. Good. Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
Keep your go bag packed full of books, movies, TV shows, and games. Adam has proceeded to...
I'm trying to cut myself with a coaster, and it's not really working.
Yeah, okay, I won't use that old tagline, but I hope that you enjoyed the episode.
Indeed. All right, thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you later. Keep on surviving, survivors.